In the late 10th century, political consolidation in Scandinavia led freebooting warriors to begin attacking England again. Here we have evidence of the expansion of government activity in terms of formal states being organized, particularly in Denmark and in Norway. And some of these Viking characters decided to beat a hasty retreat and go elsewhere. And a number of them began in the last decades of the 10th and the very beginning of the 11th century to attack England once more. England was conquered in 1014 by Sven Forkbeard, who was succeeded by his son Canute in 1016. Canute reigned in England until 1035 and then was succeeded in turn by his own sons until 1042, when the son of the last Anglo-Saxon king returned. Now, at this point, Edward the Confessor, the king who came back, who reigned in England from 1042 to 1066, had no heir. He had taken a vow of chastity. We aren't told what his wife thought about that vow. But anyway, the point is that he had no heir. He seems at different times to have recognized the claims of Harold of Wessex, who was the leader of the Anglo-Saxon nobility, of William the Bastard, the Duke of Normandy. And then we have a complicating factor in that King Harald Hardrada, who was the king of Denmark, claimed England in succession to Canute. So the situation in England during the years when Edward the Confessor was the king was very complicated indeed. Now, immediately on the death of Edward the Confessor in 1066, Harald Hardrada invaded from England, invaded northeastern England. Harald Wessex marched north and defeated him, only to learn that William the Conqueror of Normandy was actually landing on the southern coast. Harald Wessex made a big mistake. He marched south very quickly. He could have waited a while and rested his troops and perhaps rallied his forces, increased the size of his forces. He marched south very quickly, met William the Conqueror at Hastings in October of 1066, and was decisively defeated. His army was defeated. He was left dead on the battlefield. This was England's famous Norman conquest, when the Duke of Normandy conquered England. But the point that I want to register with you is that that conquest is a culmination of 2.5 centuries of Norman, that is, Northmen, attacks on England. And that attempts had been made to conquer England in 865. England had, in fact, been conquered in 1014 and was conquered again in 1066. So this was actually a rather long tradition and not a single one-off event that happened in 1066. Now, what we're talking about really, though, is the territorial integrity of the state at this moment. So let's say that when William the Conqueror comes to England from Normandy, he retained his interest in Normandy. This ushered in a centuries-long English territorial involvement with France. Henceforth, and for a very long time indeed, the kings of England also hold territories, varying territories, as we'll see, in France. Now, William was succeeded by two sons in succession. The second of these, Henry I, who reigned from 1100 to 1135, died without a male heir. The Anglo-Norman elite would not accept his daughter as his heir. As a result, a grandson of William the Conqueror on the French side was chosen. He came over to England in 1135. King Stephen I was his name. He reigned for 19 years until 1154, and then he died without an heir. As a result, in 1154, Henry II, Henry of Anjou, Henry the son of that daughter of Henry I who was not recognized as England's ruler, became the King of England. Now, in his shortly before he became the King of England, he had also married the famous Eleanor of Aquitaine. Now, I mention that because Henry II, Henry of Anjou, is the Count of Anjou in his own right, and he controls lands in Maine, the Touraine, in Poitou, and he has claims upon Brittany. He controls Normandy through his mother. He controls Aquitaine and a substantial chunk of the south through his wife, and he becomes the King of England. He has, in other words, what historians call the Angevin Empire. He's from Anjou. He is an Angevin. His Angevin Empire is about 60% of France. So now you have the anomalous situation that a French prince has become the King of England, and as King of England, and in addition to being King of England, controls about 60% of France.